Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Quality Power Electrical Equipment Limited Q4 FY 2026 earnings conference call hosted by Asit C. Mehta Investment Intermediates. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Siddharth Bhamre from Asit C. Mehta Investment Intermediates. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I once again thank all of you to join this conference call of Quality Power Electrical Equipment, and we are discussing Q4 FY 2026 and full year FY 2026 numbers. We, Asit C. Mehta Investment Intermediates Limited, we are a Pantograph Group of company, and we would like to congratulate the entire team of Quality Power in achieving 1,000+ crore of total income in full year FY 2026. Also, we would request management to emphasize on this rise in other expenses due to accounting entry as per IAS 29, which factored in impact of hyperinflation on the balance sheet of its Turkish subsidiary. Today, on call we have with us Mr. Muralidharan Pandya, who's Joint Managing Director, Mr. Sanjog Mathre, CEO, Mr. Rajesh Jeyaraam, CFO, and Mrs. Sarika Jadhav, Senior Vice President, Finance. Over to you, Bunny.
Siddharth, good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for joining our earnings call. On behalf of the management team, I would like to thank our shareholders, customers, employees, and partners for their continued trust and support. A personal note today, on the 12th of May, we lost Professor Dr. Radhakrishnan Pillai, my Professor of Strategy at SPJMR. He taught us that competition is a science through both
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Your voice is breaking.
Yeah. On the 12th of May, we lost Dr. Radhakrishnan Pillai, my Professor of Strategy at SPJMR. He taught us that competition is a science through both Arthashastra and Art of War. Two ideas from his classroom have stayed with me, and they have shaped how we have built Quality Power as a small technology company competing against far larger global names. From the Arthashastra, Chanakya's counsel that a smaller state does not engage the larger one where it is the strongest. It builds its capability patiently, chooses its ground, and competes only when its preparation gives it an edge. From Sun Tzu, the principle that a better general wins the battle before it is fought by choosing the terrain and the timing rather than the fighting harder on somebody else's ground. Much of what we have done at Quality Power have been guided by these two ideas. My gratitude to him and my condolences to his family. On the opportunity ahead, the global energy transition, HVDC, FACTS investments, renewable integration, grid modernization, and power quality requirements continue to create long-term opportunities for our sector. We see healthy engagement across utilities, renewables, industry applications, and data center infrastructure across multiple operating markets. To begin the call, I would like to have a few housekeeping remarks. First, on the enabling resolution for fundraising placed before shareholders. This is a long-term growth capital enabler available to the company as and when required. It could support future expansion opportunities, including North America-related growth initiatives or acquisitions subject to a business plan and market comfort at an appropriate time. The funds will be called as and when required and not necessarily immediately.
Sir, your voice is again breaking it.
Second, on the alignment. In light of the proposed fundraising, the promoters and the management have collectively decided to forgo any incremental salary for the second consecutive year and to forgo our share of dividend again this year. The intent is to preserve cash, strengthen the balance sheet, and keep any future dilution as minimal as possible. I would request that this not be read as a permanent posture or a forward-looking commitment beyond this context. It is a decision tied to the present fundraise. Third, a word on how we communicate on these calls. Our responsibility is not only to talk about the achievements, but equally to be open about risks, execution challenges, and areas of caution that are often under-discussed in the normal business.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for patiently holding. We have the line for the management reconnected. Over to you, sir.
Sorry for the brief interruption. I begin again. And finally, on Siddharth's question, 25.7 crore hyperinflationary adjustment in Turkish subsidiary under IAS 29. This, in all honesty, is the Duckworth-Lewis of our financial year. We executed the plan. We hit the numbers we said we would hit. The cash came in, the order shipped, the bank account looked exactly as we had planned. And then a formula in the audit room kindly explained that on paper, the scoreboard read 25.7 crore lighter. The good news is that this is a non-cash adjustment. The operating performance of the business and the cash it has generated are unaffected. As engineers, we would have scored the match differently. As a listed company, we report what the standard requires us to report, and we have disclosed it accordingly. On our results, briefly, we have crossed the first time 1,000 crores in total revenue with an EBITDA of 236 crores in spite of the write-off adjustment that we had just spoken about. Q4 was our highest ever quarter at about 310 crores in total revenue. At the start of the year, we had guided to a revenue band of roughly 800 crore with EBITDA in margins between early teens and to 20%. We have closed the year above that range on revenue and at approximately 23.8% margins. This has been possible in difficult supply chain conditions, and I want to thank my colleagues, our partners, and our customers for helping us deliver better than the guidance we had set ourselves. On Q4 profitability, the quarter includes one-time provisions related to the new labor codes across our Indian operations and subsidiaries. Within the subsidiary, Nehru has delivered around 20% EBITDA margins this quarter, a meaningful contribution and a sign of how well the integration is settling in. A note on comparability, this is the first quarter of Endox in our consolidated numbers for our last quarter. For a cleaner read, please look at Endox on a year-on-year basis rather than a quarter-on-quarter basis, since Endox follows a January-December financial year and was in its final quarter when last quarter was reported. The bases are not directly comparable. We enter FY 2027 with an order book of over 1,400 crores, about 1.4 times last year's revenue. How we think about our growth and margin across our portfolio? We do not run Quality Power as a collection of independent businesses, each chasing its own number. We run it as a team with a strategy. In any given year, the raw material environment in one product line or the customer mix in another will mean that one business needs support on growth while the other needs support on margin. Because our businesses do not necessarily share the same customers and raw materials, we can lean on one another in strategies. One carries a margin in a year while the other carries the growth, and the next year can flip. This year, given the raw material environment in our high-voltage product business, we chose to chase growth in our power electronics business, accepting some margin sacrifice to do so. The window to build scale and customer references in power electronics is now. As we scale, margins will follow, and as the group pursues its ambition in energy storage, component prices should continue to ease with increased volume of orders. That easing also makes our future entry into the Indian storage market more viable as electronic component costs come closer to Chinese prices at volume. Meanwhile, the high-voltage product portfolio holds the margin line for the group, that is the team at work. Beyond the numbers, we have been broadening this company beyond traditional high-voltage equipment manufacturer. The PCS, or power conversion system, for grid-scale energy storage is an example. It has been developed in-house by our own R&D and engineering team, the result of investments over several years in power electronics design, testing capability, and engineering depth. We are setting up a dedicated PCS factory for best application to commercialize it at scale. Our 1725 kilowatt PCS inverter design is also underway, and we expect to bring it to the market over the next few quarters. GIS is another example of the same pattern.
a category we have invested in patiently and one we expect will over time deliver the same kind of compounding contribution that our earlier R&D-led products have delivered. At Nehru, the development of 765 kV product category is a clearer signal that technology improvement is a way of life at Quality Power. It is how we operate. Whether it is a 765 kV step at Nehru, the in-house PCS or our GIS build-out, what you are seeing is the same underlying habit, investing in capability ahead of demand, trusting our own R&D and moving the technology bar one step at a time. While all this is happening, we continue to scale businesses, our capacities across product lines and geographies. These are not separate projects. They are one effort, building a technology moat and a scale moat together. Technology earns us the right to participate in the most demanding tenders. Scale earns us the right to win them. Both remain our primary advantage in the market and we intend to keep investing in both. As the company grows in size and complexity, we are deepening our engagement with academia and bringing in regular training from renowned external trainers and institutions. The objective is to build the next layer of managers and engineers within Quality Power who can take this organization forward into a larger, more global and more technology-intensive future. On the external environment, geopolitical conditions across several corridors continue to make an already congested supply chain more difficult. These are industry-wide realities and we are managing them through vertical integration as I described earlier. As a closing remark, we remain focused on disciplined execution, technology leadership and long-term value creation. There is much that remains to be built and we are clear-eyed about it. With that, I hand over the call to Mr. Sanjog Mathre, our CEO, for the business overview, following which we shall be happy to take your questions. Thank you. Jai Hind.
Thank you, Mr. Pandyan. Good noon to everyone joining us today and thank you for participating in our earnings call. The past quarter has been yet another important milestone in our growth journey. Despite a dynamic global business environment, we continued to demonstrate strong execution capabilities, operational discipline, and growing customer confidence across international markets. Over the last few years, Quality Power has evolved from a fast-growing engineering company into a more integrated, process-driven, and globally competitive organization. One of the strongest indicators of the growth momentum is our historic order book position. Today, Quality Power has an order book exceeding ₹520 crores, while the overall group order book stands tall, above 1400 crores. Our subsidiaries continue to perform strongly as well, with Nehru carrying an order book of approximately 430 crores and Endox at nearly 450 crores. Importantly, during the last quarter alone, we have added over 600 crores of fresh orders, reflecting increasing customer confidence and strong market demand. Our business pipeline remains highly encouraging as we currently pursue opportunities exceeding 1100 crores for QP alone, including strong opportunities in PACS systems, renewables, and data center infrastructure. Demand visibility continues to remain robust across the Middle East, Europe, the United States, and Australia, particularly in grid modernization, renewable integration, STATCOM applications, and power quality solutions. To support future growth, we continue investing in manufacturing infrastructure and technology capabilities. Our new factory is expected to commence operations around July-August 2026 alongside the commissioning of new high-voltage test laboratory, which will significantly enhance our testing and execution capabilities too. At Nehru, additional oven capacity is being added post-September 2026 along with the development of GIS manufacturing and testing infrastructure. The GIS product line is progressing well, with the first prototypes expected around July-August 26. Indox is also setting up a new BESS manufacturing facilities based on in-house developed technology, underscoring our focus on innovation-led growth. Thus, we expect to launch this 1725 kilowatt PCS inverter within the next two quarters at Indox, as Mr. Vanidharan Pandian just mentioned. Operationally, we continue to strengthen the organization through recruitment of skilled manpower across engineering, manufacturing, projects, and leadership functions. Recently, we conducted a vision meet at Panhala Fort, involving nearly 95 senior and middle management members from across the Quality Power Group. This strategic exercise aligned all group companies around a common long-term vision, mission, and growth roadmap. We believe one of the most encouraging developments today is that sustained growth, operational discipline, and cross-functional collaboration are increasingly becoming part of our organizational culture across all levels. At the same time, the global environment continues to remain dynamic. Geopolitical tensions, logistics disruptions, commodity volatility, and supply chain constraints continue to impact industries globally. We are currently facing certain execution challenges related to insulators and winding conductors. However, mitigation initiatives are already underway, including our own cable manufacturing initiatives that will improve supply reliability going forward. Importantly, as the global shifts are accelerating the movement towards diversified and resilient sourcing strategies, positioning India as a preferred global manufacturing and engineering destination, we believe Quality Power is well positioned to benefit from these structural opportunities. Going forward, our priorities remain clear: expanding our global market presence, strengthening manufacturing and execution capabilities and supply chain resilience, investing in technology and digital systems, building scalable leadership and organizational depth, maintaining discipline and sustainable growth. To conclude, therefore, we are entering the next phase with stronger teams, improving infrastructure, historically a record order book, growing global visibility, and a long-term commitment towards building a globally competitive, strong organization. Thank you once again for your continued trust and support. I now hand over the call to our CFO, Mr. Rajesh Jeyaraman, who will walk you through the financial highlights for the quarter.
Thank you, Barney. Thank you, Sanjog. Good afternoon, everyone. It is my privilege to walk you through the financial highlights of what has happened and has been a defining year for Quality Power. FY26 has closed comfortably ahead of every guidance milestone we set out at the start of the year. We had originally guided the market to approximately ₹800 crore of consolidated revenue, which we subsequently revised upward to ₹900 crore with an EBITDA margin aspiration of around 22%. I am pleased to confirm that we have closed the year at consolidated revenue of ₹1,007 crore, a growth of nearly 157% year on year, with a full year EBITDA margin of 23.5%, comfortably above the revised guidelines. This is the first time in our history that we have crossed the ₹1,000 crore revenue mark, and we have done so while simultaneously expanding profitability. Full year EBITDA stands at ₹236 crore, up by 98%. Profit before tax at ₹216 crore, up by 93%, and PAT at ₹185 crore, up by 85% year on year. Standalone performance was equally robust, with revenue of ₹227 crore and PAT of ₹55 crores. A particular highlight has been the successful operational integration of Meru Electrical and Mechanical Engineers, where margins have expanded to approximately 20% in Q4 and 15% within just 1 year acquisition, supported by revenue stream expansion and deeper market penetration. On the key business ratios, the trajectory is clearly improving across the board. Gross margin for FY26 stands at 43.7%, expanding to 47.7% in Q4, reflecting a richer product mix and a higher share of engineering content revenue. Full-year PBT margin has held firm at 21.5% and PAT margin at 18.4%. Return on equity has expanded materially. Finance costs remain contained at under 0.7% of revenue, and we continue to operate as an essentially debt-light enterprise with healthy interest coverage. Earnings per share for the full year stands at rupees 15.67 versus rupees 9.10 in the previous year. The order book exiting the year is in excess of rupees 1,400 crore, approximately 1.4 times FY26 revenue, giving us strong forward visibility into FY27 and beyond. Now, allow me to address one important technical matter that materially affects the optics of our Q4 numbers. This is a nuanced accounting subject, and I would request your patient attention here so that there is absolutely no ambiguity. You will note that Q4 consolidated EBITDA margin appears at 19.1% against 27.9% in Q3 and Q4 PBT margin at 17.3% versus 26.1% in Q3. This does not reflect any deterioration in underlying business performance, any cash cost, any operating shortfall, or any erosion of margins at the subsidiary level. Our Turkish step-down subsidiary, Endox Energy, operates in an economy classified as hyperinflationary under Ind AS 29, which is financial reporting in hyperinflationary economies. Under this standard, all non-monetary items on the subsidiary's balance sheet, such as property, plant and equipment, inventories, and equity, must be restated using a general price index to reflect the current measuring unit at the reporting date. Monetary items such as cash, receivables, and payables are not restated, but the net monetary position naturally erodes in real terms during inflationary periods, and this purchasing power loss is recognized through profit and loss account, in our case, classified under other expenses. For Q4 FY26, specifically, this restatement has resulted in a net monetary loss of approximately rupees 25.7 crore. I would like analysts to tell you 4 points. First, this is purely accounting
issue. Sorry to interrupt, sir, your voice is breaking.
First, this is a purely accounting driven, non-monetary, non-cash adjustment mandated by Ind AS 29. It does not flow into operating cash flows.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Sir, your voice is breaking. It is not clear.
Can you connect to the parallel line?
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. For Q4 FY26 specifically, this restatement has resulted in a net monetary loss of approximately rupees 25.7 crore. I would like analysts to clearly note 4 points. First, this is a purely accounting driven, non-monetary, non-cash adjustment mandated by Ind AS 29. It does not flow into operating cash flow, working capital, or any element of business performance. Second, the treatment is symmetric across quarters. In earlier quarters of this year, similar conditions produced net monetary gains that were recognized under the same head. So quarter to quarter optics will continue to fluctuate purely on index movements, not on business in, business reality. Third, Endup's underlying operating margins continue to remain north of 25%, and the business is delivering strongly on commercial milestones, including the new PCH facility at Nigdi. Fourth, and most importantly, normalized for this Ind AS 29 charge, our consolidated PAT for FY26 would have crossed rupees 210 crore. I would strongly encourage analysts to model Endup's on an Ind AS 29 normalized basis when projecting forward, treating this monetary loss or gain entries as below the line non-operating items. Q4 figures additionally absorb one-time provisions relating to the new Indian labor codes across our operations. Beyond the headline numbers, the balance sheet continues to strengthen meaningfully. Consolidated total assets stand at rupees 1,112 crore against rupees 814 crore a year ago, and total equity has expanded to rupees 774 crore. Cash and bank balances stand at rupees 248 crore and capital work in progress has scaled to rupees 73 crore, reflecting active deployment across the Sangli Global Coil Manufacturing Facility, the HVDC CTS CTC Magnet Wire Facility on track for Q3 FY27 commissioning. Meru's 17.2 crore capex program for GIS and high voltage treating equipment and a new Endup PCS facility at Nigdi targeted for December 2026. On capital allocation, the board has recommended a final dividend of rupees 1 per share, with promoters voluntarily waiving the entitlement to conserve cash ahead of growth investments. The board has also approved an enabling authorization to raise up to USD 75 million across permissible modes, strategic dry powder for international expansion, acquisitions, and technology investments. We exit FY26 stronger, deeper, and better positioned than ever before. Thank you. Now, I request the moderator to take on, and we are ready for question and answer.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Archit Shah from 361 Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. This is Kunal. Just wanted to quickly, you know, understand about the BESS and the data center opportunity. We've already got one large order on the BESS side. So how large this opportunity could be both on the BESS and the data center side over the next few years, and what are the key products, you know, that will go into this from our side?
Good morning, Kunal. This is Barney here. Talking about BESS, we have been consistently investing on this product line. The current order book at this moment stands at about $31 million. And we are expecting that we close another $30 to $50 million by the end of the year, which means that about $18 million, we will be the largest PCS manufacturing company in our country, where the scale also helps us to increase significantly. The reason why we have put the PCS factory in Turkey is because we have a better price realization in Turkey compared to India. To compete in India, we need to have a cheaper prices, and that can only happen when we get semiconductors at a discount. So we believe this year we should be targeting anywhere between $60 and $80 million in order, and it's a $1 billion opportunity, really, to be realistic. The volume is just starting up across the world. With regards to data center, we started with Microsoft in Finland last year. I think this time we have again got one of the big threes in the top pocket in the US. It was, I think, a 49 crore order that we bagged a couple of weeks back. I was in the US last week. I believe we should get a similar a couple of projects or more in the next few quarters. There is a demand for echo reactor for every large data center tie-up that is coming up in that part of the world. It's a part of spec where the current problem we are having is we are already booked out on deliveries. Most of these data centers come at 6-7 months kind of a timeline. We already are booked out on HVDC and other projects. As my colleague Mr. Sanjog said, we are almost north of 500 crores on the current order book. It's only when we take into the new facility we'll be able to take more. But I believe the market size for just data center integration for reactors in the US market is about 1500 crores per year.
Sure. Thank you. My next question, sir, is on the Sanghi plant. So now the commissioning date we are targeting is around July, right?
July and August is what we are guiding in. The people have written back, the guys who had shortage of gas and operating problems during the start of the conflict. But I think we are at full swing. We are anticipating trial productions to start at that time. Yes.
And sir, thirdly, I don't know, maybe the line was, but I'm not sure if you mentioned about the guidance for the year. If not, if you can talk about the guidance for the year on top line and margins.
The guidance would be, as of now, we have given the market a S-curve, where this year we stabilize, where we have a lot of people that we will be taking across organizations because a lot of factories are coming in. The guidance is around 15% and 20%. With regards to our traditional product line, I think we are happy with the margins where we are. Maybe a couple of points here and there because of the conflict and the related price increases. With regards to BESS, I need to make it clear. Whatever is the battery pass-through at this moment is about 2 or 3%. On the converter side, it's about 10 or 12%. As we scale up, we anticipate the 10 or 12% to be at about 17-18% for the inverter. The batteries are being passed through the balance sheet because we are building the containers where the battery and the PCS go all together. As I said, this is a volume game. The more that we are able to bring in the semiconductors, I think we will get cheaper. So it's an investment mode at this moment. Otherwise, I think we should be happy at about 15-20% more than what earnings what we are right now.
Got it, sir. And so I understand.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Shah. May we please request you to rejoin the queue, sir, for the follow-up question?
Sure. Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the question queue, please restrict yourself to two questions only. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Next question is from the line of Nimesh Sundar from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congrats on a very good quarter. So just expanding a bit on the BESS, so you highlighted the opportunity pipeline. So just wanted to understand, who will be our competitors here? Like, will be competing with certain local players or would be competing with certain MNCs like EVP Siemens and Hitachi who are also supplying there? Or what would be the competitive landscape of BESS in the domestic and global?
Good morning, Namish. The BESS is dominated by Chinese in most parts of the world. But fortunately, you have software and service support that helps you in Europe, which keeps the Chinese away. Also in the US and Australia, where they are not much preferred. In India, currently, only the EMS needs to be domesticated with a domestic supply. The power electronics, they still do not have a large manufacturing base and is currently being imported. But with regards to, I would say, competition, I would say Chinese would be the largest competition. GE is a large player, but is at a very, very high level on the pricing front. Our focus at this moment, as I said, is to bring in that $70-80 million of order this year and then grow into a $1 billion opportunity in the next 2 years. The competition will always be Chinese, is where we are seeing as an Asian company. We are not competing GE in this product line yet because we are upstarts in the market.
Okay, and also on the data center, so we've already gotten an order and you said we received another order. So on the current facility and the new facility, so would we be in a position to cater to multiple data center orders as we scale up forward in India and
so globally? Manish, you have visited the facility. You know the kind of scale that we are building in.
Yes.
The storage is not only our capability, it is also the raw material supply chain. We have always been blaming the insulator guys. So it is over a period of time that we will build in the capacity that is required to deliver. As I said, it is just not data center. We are delivering HVDC in Australia, HVDC in India. There is already one that we are likely to close by this year. There is Barmer, which has also gone for a tender, which again will come this year. All these are multi-million dollar orders. We are also exporting quite a bit to Europe, Middle East, Australia, Southeast Asia. So we are quite busy. So we cannot deliver to only one market and one product. We are just trying to ensure that we have flavor of everything. As and when our supply chain eases up, we'll be able to take market shares.
Okay, thanks, sir. I have some questions, but I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Lovish Soin from Burman Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, actually, sir, I wanted to understand the TAM potential of reactors and transformers that we supply from our standalone business and Meru business. So in India, for a typical project, HVDC project like a Badlapur-Fatehpur corridor, which is a 6 gigawatt project, I wanted to understand what is the total value of reactors and instrument transformers that will be used in that project, and also what is the timeline for the supply of these components for that project?
So to give you an idea, a classic 6 gigawatt HVDC, which is, I would say, a LCC technology, would entail anywhere between 200 to 300 crores of reactors alone, another 50 to 70 crores of instrument transformers. At the moment, we are adding more products into the kitty. LCC is not a 6 gigawatt link yet. It is normally a 2 gigawatt link. It's much smaller in technology because they are basically trying to connect renewables. And it's the IGBT converters at 6 gigawatt level is still not operational yet. So we believe that would be about 70 to 100 crores approximately at this moment at the coil business side. With regards to transformers, we also, I'm not sure because standalone business, we also make transformers. We have had opportunities in this quarter where we were bidding $80 to $100 million of transformers alone in the U.S. market. Unfortunately, we lost a lot, and I think we have also as a strategy are unsure whether we have to scale up in our transformer business because we do not know the sustainability of transformers with the kind of capacity that is being built across the world. So we are also looking at a lot of exposure of transformers. We are currently engaged in multiple bids for transformers for data centers as we speak. But this is not something of a priority, and at a lower margin than what we are operating, we are not intending to book the orders. With instrument transformers for the
So just to summarize the overall opportunity, let's say in a regular HVDC corridor currently would be somewhere around 350 to 400 crores for us, right?
Assuming that we take the entire lot, but unfortunately the current supply chain does not allow us to take the entire lot because once we book the supply chain and the factory, you cannot supply to other people. As of last quarter, our revenue for the year was about 230 crores, if I'm not wrong. And what we say, the order book is already 500. And if I open the corridors, we will get more. So execution is the key and not order.
Understood. And sir, if I look at just globally, what would be the market potential for our products of these reactor coils and the instrument transformers that we have?
So the data we have
quantified the opportunity for us.
So I would like to talk about peer reviewed data rather than data that is what we say off my hook. My largest competitor is a company called Trench Electric Limited, earlier owned by Siemens, now by a private equity. I think as of last December, they had 1.5 billion euros in pending order book. For the instrument transformer, there is a listed company called Arteche in the Spanish market, which is the nearest competitor to Meru. I think their revenues were slightly north of 3,500 crores. So I believe the opportunity size or the TAM is not a problem. We have enough to grow for the current markets.
Understood.
It's only the execution which is our challenge, it's internal.
Got it. And sir, just one thing.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Lovish. May we please request you to rejoin the queue, sir, for the follow-up. Thank you.
Sure, thank you.
Next question is from the line of Karthik Kohli from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. I had two quick questions. One, I don't know if this was discussed previously. Can you like shed more light on your best business? I would like to know more on, first of all, the operating strategy of the business. What kind of customers you're looking at, and what is the advantage that you're offering versus competitors in the markets that you're looking at? And I'll come back with my second question.
So Karthik, BESS is basically a high voltage, high power inverter, similar to the SVC and STATCOMs that we are already building in Turkey, medium voltage. Now, where the BESS is required, BESS has a variety of applications. In India, they are primarily used for a peak hour discharge. Most of the tenders in India is basically a O&M tender, whereas we are a manufacturer. So in a BESS, we have three or four major components. First is the battery itself, which we never intend to get into because that is chemistry. Then you have the power electronic inverter, which is something that we are manufacturing. Then we have the software, that is the EMI that is connecting the BESS to the grid. And finally, we have the transformer, which is an in-house product for us. So this is a value chain. At this current moment, we are selling to developers of large renewable energy projects. However, BESS also has a very large market in the data center, where most of the data centers in the US have 50 megawatt of steam turbines, which are parallel together. So in case of contingency, they use BESS like in UPS, where the battery component is less than 1% and the converters are much larger. So these are evolving businesses. We believe these will be multi-billion dollar businesses in a very few years. You can see that we would be talking about in excess of 2 gigawatt of BESS projects every month in India alone. This year, we are targeting close to 500 to 600 megawatt of converter manufacturing, where we are integrating the battery software into a converter shell and selling it to the thing. We are not in an O&M model. We are just a manufacturer in this.
Got it. Sorry, sir. I meant what kind of customers in what geographies was the question. Sorry.
So the kind of customers is renewable energy developers. In India, if I would say that, I would like to go to people like Acme or Avaada, but we are not going there. We are talking to similar counterparts in Europe, A. B, the geographies are again Europe because we have a slightly better prices there compared to India. This will help us scale the business and bring the volume of semiconductors for the pricing advantage before we launch in India. India is definitely in our plans.
Got it, sir. Just one last question. So from your order book of 1400 crores, I'm assuming like a large part of this is about 150 crores is coming from this BESS order. Is there a sizable portion of data centers in your order book which may not get executed this year?
Mr. Sanjog Matre had in our in his speech has spoken about the different order book of every entity. Quality Power is at this moment focusing on data centers, where we have an order book of about 520 crores. I think that is where we will be executing. I think the first data center order we will be for the US executing this year. But there are more on the anvil which may either be completed this year or next year. The Turkish guys are not focused on the data center. They are focused more on renewable energy integration and large steel factories. And the Nehru guys are focused on GIS, high voltage and AC substations. That's our focus. Different customers.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for taking the question.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Hemant Soni, who is a self-employed. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for providing me the opportunity and congratulations on beating the guidance. Sir, I think we have two expansions lined up, right? One at the Sangli plant and one at the Mehru plant. So what can be the incremental revenue from both the expansions?
Sir, the Sangli factory, I think the peak revenue that we can go in is about 1,500 crores, subject to we completing our, what we say, our CTC cable expansion and clear out our insulator problems. With regards to Meru, I think another 20-30% before they scale down, because the plant would then saturate. But as we speak, we are also working out on a new expansion in Turkey. I believe that we should have more data about it in the next quarter. The Turkish operations would cater to most of the global or the European load, whereas India would focus on India and near countries.
Sir, can you please quantify in numbers, maybe, sir, for the Meru plant?
So as I said, last quarter, I think they did about 320 crores. Another 30% to 35% is what max I think the plant would saturate. Current plant.
30%-35%.
Yeah, that's the saturation of that plant.
And sir, I think we are also exploring the greenfield opportunity, right, in Meru?
Yes, but that is at Turkey, not in India.
Okay, sir. And sir,
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Soni, may we please request you to rejoin the queue, sir? Thank you.
Okay.
Next question is from the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, one clarification on this PCS that you were talking of, some factory expansion in Turkey. So that was not clear what exactly it is. Is it a new product line? And then you gave out that we are targeting some $60-$80 million of business. So all those things were not clear, so you need to first tell us, where is it? Is it a new line of business? What is this PCS that you are referring to? You know, some details would be easier.
Very good. Good morning, sir. Long time no hear from you. But with regards to PCS, we have been talking in the last four phone calls. We have been saying that we are executing battery storage projects. We have our own products already on trial. This is a product that has come from our investments in R&D over the few years. We have been speaking about it. The orders are just picking up. So once the orders are picking up, we are putting together the capacity expansion. PCS is basically the power converter that is required to ensure the energy stored in the battery is interconnected to the grid. The grid is at an AC supply, and the battery is at a DC supply. So basically, you are converting high power DC to high power AC at a large power electronic base. That is what we call as a power conversion systems. But while we are connecting the power conversion system, we also have a software interface, because the battery is not what we say, charged and discharged as and when it feels like, unlike a home inverter. This is charged and discharged at, you know, kind of a forecast based on load demand and the pricing plan to the exchange. So the software is connected to the main grid. That is where the data security and software security comes into play, where the Chinese are normally not allowed. So that gives us some sweet spots in the U.S. and European market. Even Indian market very recently ensured that software interconnection is only Indian. The power electronics is also ours. The battery will continue to either integrate or ask customers to directly buy. So PCS, power electronics, is a part of BESS projects everywhere.
So it's basically an EMS product, and you will end up supplying that, or you will have to land up supplying the whole BESS. So that will include a battery, a inverter, and PCS.
So at this moment, we are giving the entire container with our software, hardware, and integrating batteries. However, we would be open to selling the converters alone, standalone, as a product line, because we are a manufacturing company.
Is it currently made out of the Turkey unit, or how it is?
Yes, because the center of competence for power electronics for us is Turkey.
Do you need to put any extra capacity there, or it is made out of the existing?
So we have a lot of land bank there historically, so about $2 million is what we are putting in. Construction is very fast in that part of the world. So I think, by the time we are coming in for execution, the raw material is kicking in, I think we should start it. We are expecting the first orders that we have bagged to start billing by the first, last quarter this year. So you could see a lot more revenue of BESS coming in the next financial year. The orders would come this year, revenues would follow next year.
what kind of orders do you expect this year?
So 31 is already in the bag. We believe another 50 million is our target internally. So that would mean that at least 80 million is what we carry forward next year from the product line.
Dollars. Sorry, 30 million is
sorry to interrupt, Mr. Chheda. May we please request you to rejoin the queue, sir? Thank you.
I'm actually continuing with the same question, my friend.
Sorry, sir. There are
sir, in US dollars. The money is in US dollars.
Okay. And can you just tell one thing, sir? In Endox, this both the size of the business, which is about 468 crores this year. So in the last 2 years, there is material difference. So that difference is from a new project or a new product, or where the difference comes from?
So it is basically when you are grid integrating any component, either as a steel factory or renewable, you need power electronics for support. So there is a lot more demand, like all our other product lines, for grid integration. It's just demand supply.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Aditi from iWealth. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, please go ahead with the question.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. I had just one question regarding the other expenses. Like, as you mentioned, that 25 crores is due to the hyperinflationary part from Turkey. But even if we subtract that, we still have 33 crores left in other expenses, which is proportionately high if we compare it to the past quarter. So, little clarity on that.
Yeah. Hello, ma'am.
Hi.
In other expenses, the net monetary gain loss of 25 crores has been categorized under other expenses, and also the freight outward of 12 crores and LD of 5 crores. Because of that, other expenses has been increased during the last quarter.
Understood. Should we see it going ahead, like this would be the run rate, or it would come back to the 14-20 crores that we were doing?
The LD basically was from our subsidiary in Nehru, which has been curtailed. These are pre-acquisition hit. With regards to the hyperinflation formula, it is not in our control. It's indexation. As and when the inflation rate comes down, it will come down. These are just optics for us and not real cash flow. As of what I see in the balance sheet of end of last year, without any net monetary gain or forex gain loss, in their Turkish balance sheet, last year they had an EBITDA margin of 32.01%, and this year they have 32.13% despite growing 150% in revenue. So they are stable on the reporting and currency. It's only the translation error that is showing these numbers.
Understood, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Dev Gulwani from Care PMS. Please proceed.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Just one question. In a standard battery energy storage system project, what percentage of the total project cost is attributable to PCS? If you have any idea of gross numbers.
So at this current moment, it's between 40% and 50% based on how much of battery storage the customer would like to have. In a data center application, the battery is about 5%. But the prices of battery being a commodity is expected to be at least half of what it is in the next 2 years. So I believe the converters will become more expensive than the battery going for in the next 2 or 3 years. So where we will have a lot more mode to play around.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Maitri Shah from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Am I audible?
Yes, please proceed.
Hello. Yeah, hello. Good morning. A great set of numbers for this year. One clarification on the guidance you mentioned. We're looking at a 15% to 20% growth. Did I hear that correct?
Ma'am, we started with a guidance of 800 crores and the base has shifted already to 1,000 crores. Our new factory is not ready yet. So we will not be able to, we have audits of 6 months, so we will not be able to deliver much from the new facility. took the Nehru facilities also, you know, we are only getting it by September, the new ovens. So that is also where it is. It is all the growth is being delivered from Endox as we speak. So that is why we are giving a muted guidance on growth. But order book would be different. We will be picking up a lot more orders going forward in Q2, Q3 of this year, primarily to support the new capacities coming in. So as I said, even in the last call, we are going through an S-shaped curve. So this year is where we built together our team, where we are taking in maybe another 500 to 1,000 employees across business segment and building the facility. And the next year, given the base, I think we should be going ahead of north of 50% again.
That is great. Second, you said the order book growth, we're expecting quite a big order inflow from 3 and 4Q because the new facilities are coming in. Any sort of target on the consolidated order inflow for FY27? And maybe what order book number you would like to enter FY28 with?
I think we should be comfortable with the same kind of numbers that we have, but I think we should be targeting at least 15 to 1800 crore of order book before we end next year, start next year. But we have to also understand that order books are normally 12 months, and if we are not able to deliver, we are not able to take in more orders. And most of our constraints right now, even if we ship the cables on time, is insulators where the deliveries are already going 18 to 24 months. So some of our projects are getting hurt because of some critical components.
Okay, so there's a supply chain restriction also kind of capping in our growth right now. Is that correct?
Yes, but we will do something to even clean that up. We have been focused more on order book and the factories at this moment. We have been able to cover the cable problems by vertically integrating. I'm sure the board is also deciding something on the insulator side of the thing. As and when is the right time, we will let the markets know.
Okay, that is great. And lastly, on the margins, so we had a great jump in the gross margins for this quarter, even in such volatile conditions. So do you see this 46% gross margins kind of continuing for next year, or do you think it'll kind of lower down because of the volatility in the West Asia?
Sorry for the humor, but I think my friend Donald Trump has to answer this question. Because the prices are not being dictated by us at this moment. It is all related to geopolitical stuff and the dollar impact. Mm-hmm. Traditionally, the orders have been booked at the same or similar margins, all the companies.
Mm-hmm.
But the raw material prices have been highly volatile. So you know how the dollars are behaving, how the components are behaving. So I cannot guide the same kind of numbers, but I can only guide that when we booked it at similar or higher margins. We may have some small change in margins in the next one or two quarters, but that would be short-term impact.
That is great. And we are able to pass on these kind of raw material costs with a lag, or does it happen? Is there an escalation?
It will be done with a lag.
It will be done with a lag, okay. And lastly,
sorry to interrupt, Ms. Shah. May I please request you to rejoin the queue for the follow-up, ma'am?
Just one question.
Yes, ma'am.
Next question. Sir, we have moved to the next question from the line of Akshay from AK Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for giving me the opportunity. First of all, congratulations for the good set of numbers. Sir, we understand that the EBITDA got hit due to one-time non-cash accounting loss, but also the revenue in this quarter, on quarter-on-quarter basis, it is flat. So generally, the quarter four should be the highest quarter. So can you put some light on that, and I will be then second question.
Sir, I have already indicated in my speech that for Quality Power at Nehru, this has been the highest profit quarter because it is our Q4 in India. For Endox, this is Q1. They are January, December, and in December of last year, they had the highest quarter on margins. This is Q1, where you normally expect a muted sale and muted margins. However, in spite of that, we have delivered the margins of close to 20%. So I do not think we are comparing apples to apples here. For the Q4 of theirs, they have been highest. For Q4 of ours, we have been highest.
Okay, sir, understood. And sir, my second question is currently we have around 1400 crore of outstanding order book. So you already said that 15 to 20% revenue growth we can expect consolidated that level in the FY27, right? So currently what type of order pipeline are we seeing and customer inquiry and all these things are going on, and how much order inflow are we expecting in FY27 and FY28 also?
So in Sangli and Delhi, we have almost closed our order intake for the next quarter. I think we are no longer aggressively taking orders, primarily because of what we are able to deliver or not deliver. It's only strategic orders that we're pulling in. I think at this moment we are building data centers, we are building GIS, HVDC, we are building all the colors that would spark in the in what we say in analyst head. But because we are in a high technology area, almost every new technology we are participating.
Okay, sir. Fine. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pinaki Banerjee from AUM Capital Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and congrats for the good set of numbers. Sir, a couple of questions. Sir, could you throw some light on your fundraising plans? Like, what are the sources through which you are planning to raise, considering the fact that you have having a cash balance of almost rupees 250 crores in your books now?
Sir, thank you for again highlighting the elephant in the room. So this is not something that we intend to raise. This is an enabling provision for us, which means as and when the management requires it, we will draw. We are not saying we will draw 75 million. We may draw much lower. Yes, we have what we say 250 crores, but some of our acquisitions that the BDNA committee are looking at are much larger in value than the cash in hand. And the cash in hand is also required for our own organic expansions and our own organic cash flow. So we cannot empty out the bank for it. And as a group, we hardly leverage debt. We normally focus on zero debt. Even the 125 crore promoter debt that we had pledged to the company, we have been able to finish almost 80% of our factory without any further without any debt from the promoters with the current cash flow. We would continue to have a solid balance sheet. I know from a cash perspective, you would like to work on debt, but no, we do not like debt. So we would always like to have the cash in hand.
Okay, sir. Sir, my next question regarding your 1400 crores order book. So can you quantify how much comes from? Is it from renewable sources? No.
Very difficult to quantify that way, sir, because an HVDC would classify as a transmission asset, but is actually integrating renewable. For the energy storage is renewable. Data center, even though the application is data center, is being fed by renewable energy. So today, if I look at the data of India alone, 50% of our generation is renewable, which means that what we say 50-50 is what I could say. But we are not in renewable or conventional. We are in grid interconnection. So we don't care what is being connected.
Okay. Sir, and last question, sir, regarding this a hypothetical one, regarding your Turkish operations, sir, actually we know the regarding that Middle East crisis and the political situation between India and Turkey is not very good at this point of time. So are you apprehending any negative impact due to this?
Sir, we have been operating in the country for 16 years. We have been in the last 10 years getting the best R&D company of the year from the government and from the Prime Minister. We are not alone. Tata's have a plant, if I'm not wrong, Mahindra, JSPL, Birla's, a lot of Indian multinationals have plants there. Turkey is a manufacturing hub for Europe, low cost labor, lot of labor, and lot of engineering talent at a much cheaper cost than India in some of the high technology areas. When we take decisions, geopolitical is a concern, but it is more on P&L. If you look at Turkey, they have a land border to US or to Europe, which means to say Germany in 4 days on road they go in. The raw material prices are more or less similar to India, if not lower than India in some of the key raw materials. The labor is about 4 times India, but the labor is not a very big cost in our scope of the business. So the key raw material being the same, the freight coming down and faster to the market is normally a good suggestion for being a competitive moat. And also towards the US, they are only 11 days on sea. So it's a competitive move. Geopolitically, we have been there for 16 years. We don't see problems.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. That's all from my end, and all the best for the future.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pragnesh Padia from Xylem Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, my questions are being answered. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Next question is from the line of Archit Agarwal from StepTrade Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Congratulations for the good set of numbers. So my question is, all the questions are already answered. My one question is, can you give the revenue bifurcation for Nehru, Quality Power and Endoc?
So the annual year quality power equipments and projects put together is about 246 crores. Nehru is 318 crores and Endox is 468 crores.
Okay. And can you give the operating margin for...
I do not have with me the operating margin, but yes, I can give you an EBIT margin. The EBIT margin of quality power is 33%, of quality power projects is 21%, of Nehru annualized is 15%. At Endox, it is 23%, taking into account that accounting anomaly.
Okay.
Without that, they would be again close to 29-30%.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Janam Doshi from Chris PMS. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on a good set of numbers. So just wanted to understand, like, as we are setting up a new facility in Turkey, so as you were alluding upon, there's a difference between the semiconductor cost as a whole for if we source it from in India and if we source it in Turkey. So could you explain, like, what's the difference there?
See, semiconductors in India are not cheap. Semiconductors in India are still evolving. There are very few players and the high power is still not being built. I think we are taking our baby steps into that sector. The largest semiconductors are available either from European, Japanese or Chinese players. The difference in discounts, say for $100,000 and $10 million, can be as high as 50%. So in your pricing of your product, if you are able to buy a $10 million or a $50 million kind of a volume, you would at sometimes get 40-50% discount. And that is what is a real mode. So when you start scaling up your purchase of semiconductors, your margins start coming in. So it's all the same, guys. It's the Japanese, Europeans and Chinese.
Understood. Fair enough. And just if you could provide the details on the order bid pipeline separately for Nehru, Endox and Quality. So that would help us just understand.
Sir, we don't have those data available off hand. I'm sorry, I don't have it, but I think it will be a few thousand crores.
Okay.
It's just bids.
Got it. Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Aniket Jain from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So one question is, the other income has increased this quarter versus last quarter. So I thought that since the case currency is largely stable now, so is there any hedging related income that has came in this quarter, or would that be going forward, or what kind of number should we assume while forecasting the other income? So that is question one.
Sir, in other expenses...
The other income
includes interest from deposits and also the foreign exchange gain of 16 crores.
Okay. Understood. And second question is maybe a bookkeeping question only. You also have some associate income. So is that mainly related to the Sucrose Electric acquisition, or has Nebeski started giving us some revenues, and what could be the run rate for future quarters?
Sukrut, we were able to only consolidate at about 3 months post our takeover on Jan 5th. So it's a very small number at this moment. It will start scaling up in a couple of years. The guys in Nebisky are still in technology sphere. The numbers are very, very small. It's less than a crore. But that is something that we are building upon. And with regards to your question on other income, we still have a lot of cash. So the cash generated income would keep turning up. That is on interest on deposits.
Understood, sir. And if I can squeeze in one more, I think we discussed on the margin that the pricing can take a few months or maybe a quarter to stabilize. So since you do not have any kind of price variation clauses, so how you are managing the commodity cost inflation which has came up in last couple of months? So is there a possibility that our Q1 margins can see some kind of dip just because of the...
I believe the entire industry. I believe the entire industry, Aniket, has not factored in. But I believe Q1, Q2 can be hit. But as I said, we are sitting at 33% margins in some of the high voltage product line. So if there is a dip, you know, it is not going to be very huge. The volume growth is still there. We have a lot of international orders in new emerging sectors which are coming at also better margins. So we do not see a gloomy picture, a big gloomy picture. Yes, a couple of percentage here there can be expected. We still don't know because, you know, the war is still not over and every day is a new story.
Understood, sir. So by any chance, have
you started hearing the commodity? Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Jain. Please request you to rejoin the queue for the follow-up, sure, sir. Thank you. Next question is from the line of Piyush from City Family Office. Please go ahead.
So mostly my questions have been answered. I was just wondering in terms of, like, if my understanding is correct, FY27 is like more of a 20% growth year for us. Then 28 is when we see more than like a 50% type growth because we are following that S-curve journey. And there could be some near-term margin impact because of the shortages that we are seeing. Is that correct?
Correct.
Got it, sir. Nothing else from my side. Most questions are answered.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Krupa Desai from Electrum Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on good set of numbers. So my question was, how are the margins on this power electronic converter side?
I just told you, we are starting off at this moment at the bid level between 10 and 12%. We anticipate it can go to 17% on volume. But also we have to understand the base at which we are talking 10% on, say, something like $14-15 million of converter. What we say, it is still sizable numbers as margins, at this moment, because the volume is larger.
And so this margins would be like including the software part also, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, that was it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Naman Parmar from Niveshaay Investments. Please proceed.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Firstly, I wanted to know the cash flow of the Meru and Endog, if it's possible, for the current quarter and FY26.
Naman, we'll park the question for a few minutes till we finish the question. My colleagues will try to get the data till then.
Okay, understood. Secondly, on the how is the performance on the Sukrut overall after the acquisition and currently how is going for the how much run rate currently the Sukrut is going on?
Sukrut, we have turned around. They have stopped losing money. Their losses compared to last year is half because we stopped losing money. We are anticipating at least about 70-75% growth this year without losing money because we are building the team and technology out there. We will start scaling it up over the next 2 years. At this moment, it's a new transition, new management. We are allowing them to take the time to before they start scaling up aggressively.
Okay, understood.
My colleague would like to answer the cash flow question.
Regarding Meru cash flow, after operating profit, we have the 45 crores and after changes in operating activities, our net cash flow is 32 crores. And cash flow from investing activity is we have expended 20 crores for the investment in PPE, and the cash flow from financing activity is 13 crores. So net cash and cash equivalents are 18 crores at Nehru level.
Okay. And for Endox?
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Abhijeet Singh from Systematix. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. First question is on the order inflow that we received in the last quarter of 600 crores. So could you give a breakup of the order inflow in terms of segments and geographies, like HVDC, BESS, etc.?
So the order inflow, I stand corrected, is about 870 crores last quarter and not 600, because we also executed 300 crores of orders last quarter. So we had a fantastic quarter from the perspective of order intake. Right. Most of the order intake came from Quality Power and Endox. Endox came with the larger orders on energy storage and automation, whereas Quality Power delivered on HVDC and data center businesses. Nehru has been traditionally with the high voltage interconnecting substations at 400 and 220. This next few quarters is when their GIS product line would kick in, and the GIS, I would say, monetization would start happening in about a year's time.
Right. And sir, so this accounting entry that we did for Endox of 257 million, sir, does it? It obviously hits our other expense line item. Does it also hit any other line item, like, let's say, revenue or other income? Do we have an entry on that, on revenue and other income as well for this quarter, or only other expenses impacted because of that entry?
I think, to the best of my knowledge, it is only a provision adjustment under other income and nothing more.
Right. And what about the last quarter? Did we have a similar Ind AS 29 related entry in the last quarter as well, which led to the bump up of the margin?
Correct.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. But if you look at it, Abhijit, at a console level, these are just indexation numbers. At a console level, the EBITDA at Endox stands at about 32% on stable currency terms. And all the money is hedged there, so we do not have any change in margins or profit profiles.
Right, sir. Right, sir. So thanks a lot, and sir, good to see such great progress on an annual basis. It was truly surprising for me in the upside. So congratulations to the entire team for such good work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Management, do you want to share the cash flow for Endox?
Just a minute, just 1 minute. If you could take any other question in dollar terms, I'm just telling you.
Okay, sir. Next question is from the line of Nakul Gupta from Shikharji Advisors. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon, management. Congratulations on great set of numbers. I have just one. Maximum questions are answered. I have just one question. That whether do we have any plans to increase our stake in Endox or Nehru going forward down the line?
I don't think with Endox we have a certain plan at this moment. As and when things go ahead in the future, we may look into it. Our focus normally is to get a hold of critical technologies where we can develop. I think our strategy has already been clear that if we have to transfer technology from one location to another location, it would be at a 1-2% royalty internally. So as long as we have access to technology, we do not intend to increase stake. We would rather put money into newer technology areas, which would incur much better growth for us than just increase the EPS at this moment. And for the Endox, the cash flow for the Q4 is about 136 crores. That is, I think, the answer you're looking for.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nilesh Jain from Astute Investment Management Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity. My first question is, given we had recently visited the plant and the amount of challenges you all had in terms of logistic container shortage, so surprisingly, it's been a good number for Q4. Just wanted to understand, how is the situation right now in terms of logistics and also otherwise supply chain?
So I think if the logistics are cleared up, we would have revenued more. So at this moment, we have revenued less. That is why our inventories have increased. So all in good cost. So I think we can have a good Q1 because of that.
On the family plant, given we had initial target of June to commission, and now we've increased it, expanding to August most likely. How do you see in terms of audit approvals and all for the timeline for that? And should we expect then from next year only the entire capacity to be available, or at the end of Q4 we should expect the new plant should be available?
If I ask my project manager, they are still sticking to the December, January for starting. But I think we have far more customer pressure to be able to deliver faster. So I think we are under pressure from the customer and project side. We would start trial production and start delivering at least something by the end of the year.
So, and lastly, on the inorganic side, given you mentioned that you're seeing larger deal sizes, broadly, if you can, identify for which geography and, in any new products, if you're looking to identify.
Power electronic battery storage is something. High voltage power products is second. Third is, we are gung-ho about insulators, because I believe that is becoming a critical bottleneck for us across the world.
Any plans of setting up a capacity for insulator or inorganic?
All in good time, Nilesh. All in good time.
Sure. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to paucity of time, we will take one last question from the line of Ashok Shah from Eklavya Invesco Family Office. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Sir, can you just give some idea then how much competitive or cheaper compared to Hitachi and JV in the international market?
Sir, we believe in the business of niche. We normally do not compete Hitachi, Siemens or GE in our business plans. They are our customers or partners in different market. So I do not have a story how much we are cheaper. I think we can say how good a relationship we have with them. That is point one. Point two is, the reason why we do that is our scales are much lower than them. And the products, like say, if I want to get into say high voltage transformer manufacturing for HVDC, the problem would happen is they themselves have the transformer factory. Why would they buy from outside? So what we intend to do is create, develop or buy products which they don't manufacture, so that we can package it together to them. So we are complementary to them and not competing them on strategy and product lines.
So none of this we have competition, none of the product we have competition with them?
So mostly if I look at say coil products, Hitachi and Siemens do not make this product. GE has a very small factory in Brazil. But mostly for the Indian subcontinent, Asia and Europe, they buy from us. With regards to high voltage instrument transformers, I think Hitachi, Siemens and GE buy more from us in India than their own facilities, because of the volume and scale what we are operating. On the battery energy storage, I think they are far, far more expensive, and they are not in this kind of markets where we operate. Sometimes it is also the markets we operate and their factories being different. So in some markets, they have a product line. We may not compete. In other markets, we may be partners.
So from this, our competitor, are we getting around 30 to 40% business per year? Hello? Hello?
Sir, am I audible?
Yeah. Are we getting a 30% business from this GECA?
No, sir, it is not 30%. The data we have as per DRHP around 1 year back is about top 10 customers make 35% of the business.
Hello?
Mr. Shah, does that answer your question? I think we have lost the connection for Mr. Shah. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take this as the last question for the day. On behalf of Asit C. Mehta Investment Intermediates, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.